I want you to get your Bibles out and turn to Mark chapter 9. I won't be long. You know how preachers lie. I won't be long. Mark chapter number 9. And honestly, I will be respectful of your time. Mark chapter 9. There's two verses I want us to look at. They will launch us into something I want us to learn tonight. Stand, if you will. Stand with me. Mark chapter 9. Look at verse number 23 and verse number 24. I'll read them out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this: Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Interesting words. He said, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Let me pray. Father, bless us with thy presence. Strengthen my mind. Might I wrap my mind around this truth so I might properly deliver it, that you might be glorified in it. Give me the attention of the people. Father, I'll give you mine. Lord, we've had a busy day, but we're not done. We've opened the Holy Book. Help us not to waste the next few minutes of your time. Might we listen the way you would have us to listen, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat. This verse here is very interesting to me. Verse 23, it said, Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the next words are just amazing. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I'm not even going to go into the story behind this, those words. You know, we all struggle with our faith some. We all believe some. Just like this person. Lord, I believe. I believe everybody here believes. You're not here tonight because you didn't have anything else to do. I think you believe. I think you believe God. I think you believe the Bible. But I think we could all then follow that second statement that this man made. He said, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. I want to talk to you for just a short time about the subject of prayer. You say, why? Well, one reason why is I believe that prayer is one of this building and what we've seen happen here today is a great result of prayer. I really, really do believe that. You know, I believe that most of our failures in life are probably prayer failures. People talk about prayer. People praise prayer. And almost like that statement, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. For some of us, it is, Lord, I pray. Not much. Lord, I pray. We all pray little. But it's pretty rare that you find people that are serious about prayer. Now, why do we pray? Well, I think we pray because we're commanded to pray. I think we pray because we're allowed to pray. What a wonderful benefit. I think sometimes we pray because we want to. I think sometimes we pray because we need to. Sometimes we pray because we can't figure out what else to do. You ever tried everything and said, well, I'll pray. I tried everything else. Sometimes we find ourselves in a position where we pray because we have to. But why do you pray? Why do you pray? Hey, let's ask ourselves, why do we not pray? Well, one reason we don't pray is because it's probably a lack of character. Prayer is work. And it's mental work. It's emotional work, if you will. I think sometimes we fail to pray because just our work ethic is waning and it is work. I think sometimes we don't pray because of pride. We're going to do it ourselves. When you find yourself doing something without having prayed about it, it means you think you can do it without God. I think pride keeps us from praying. I think poor scheduling keeps us from praying. Again, I said something about this earlier today in my sermon. We tend to give God the leftovers. Whatever's left, we'll try to figure out a way to throw him the scraps from the table of our life, our time. But if we really got serious about prayer, we would schedule a time to do it and then do it. It would be like having an appointment with the great physician, God. You show up at the appointment and you leave when it's time to leave. But we don't tend to do that. We go do everything else. And then if we can find time for God, we try to work him in. That's why we don't pray. I think sometimes we don't pray because we're stingy. We're stingy. And if we do pray, it's for us, not for anybody else. I think we have weak faith. But I'm going to tell you something. I've really thought about this a lot. I think one of the biggest reasons we don't pray is because of this. God's so good to us. You say, what? Mm-hmm. Yeah. God's so good to you, you don't think you need to pray. I don't know if you've all noticed. He meets your needs when you don't even pray. You know, God never intended that goodness to keep you from praying. But to be very honest and candid with everybody here today, God meets our needs when we don't pray. He blesses our church sometimes when it's not been prayed about enough. He heals your illness with minimal prayer sometimes. You pay your bills, that's sometimes without praying at all. There are people in here, you didn't pray a lick this week, and you paid all your bills and you got a paycheck. God was so good to you. We have success without prayer. God can give you food without prayer. So if you ask me today, preacher, tell me, what's one of the biggest reasons people don't pray? Well, one of the biggest reasons people don't pray is because God loves them so much and is so good to them. Sometimes they don't think they need to pray to get things because God gives it to them because of how much He loves them. But don't leave me yet. I have a purpose. I want to tell you, this is going somewhere. God's good to us, so we don't think we need to follow the command to pray. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says pray without ceasing. Folks, so you understand, that's a command. It is a command. You see, God's good to us, and if you and I are not careful, we have food, we have clothes, we have what we need, and we might not pray about it, and God gives it to us. But wait, that doesn't eliminate the responsibility to do what God commanded us to do. I'm to pray. Why? God commanded it. You say, but I have everything I seem to need. I live in America. I live in a free country. We've got 3 cars, a house, my rent's paid. But wait, that does not take care of the responsibility that God gave you to pray. But God's so good to us, we then think that we don't have to follow the command to pray. Oh, we're wrong. You know, God also tells us that we are to believe He answers prayer. Do you know if you didn't pray to get a paycheck this week and you got one, I'm not sure you believe that God answers prayer because you didn't have to pray to get the paycheck. You believe in His goodness, but do you believe He answers prayer? And there is a little bit of a difference right there. God says, test me and see. Are you praying and testing God to see? He said in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee. And you may say, I don't have to call unto Him and I get what I need anyway. Yes, but He told you that you need to learn to call unto Him and see the result of Him answering you. So I get what I need. And I don't have to do the commanded thing of prayer, but it doesn't eliminate the responsibility that God's given you to pray. God is so good to us. There are times that we don't claim prayer promises because the goodness of God is so rich and so thick. You know, it says in James 5:15 that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. That's one of God's promises. But you, what you and I can do, God can be good to us. He can meet our needs. And then what we'll do is that goodness makes us lazy. We're not obedient to the command to pray. We don't want to put our faith in this thing called prayer. We're almost hurting ourselves because since the goodness of God is meeting our needs, we're not necessarily believing He answers prayer. Then we don't claim His promises. Now, I guess I just wanted to let you know, just because God's good to you and you have so many of your needs met doesn't mean it's okay not to pray. You were supposed to be praying all along. Now, that's not the purpose of this sermon. Let me tell you something. This thought occurred to me. If God, and I hope I'm not wrong. I was just kind of thinking we're probably all in the same boat here. Do you get far more from God than what you pray about? Or is that just me? Am I being too honest, or am I the only one? Am I, you know, if it be true that we tend to get so much more than what we even pray for, and we don't even sometimes pray at all, and God's good to us and blesses us, and we're going, wow, isn't that amazing? Well, get this. If God gives us so much good without praying, Just think what you'd get if you did pray. Amen. That ought to be enticing to you. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Huh, guess what? No prayer. Now some preachers will say, "If you don't pray, God won't bless you." I'm sorry. I wish I could say that. I want to. That's just like I'd like to say to you, "If you don't give, God won't bless you." I don't know, folks. It just seems like sometimes when we're not giving, God's still blessing. You say, why? God's a pretty big God. He's a pretty generous God. And also, so you know, what goes around comes around. That didn't mean that thing's over with. It just means that God blesses. But notice here, it said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Sometimes we don't pray and God blesses us. What would happen if we prayed? Then he would bless us more. What happened if we really prayed? Folks, I look around this room. I think we're all doing pretty well. See all the cars in the parking lot and the houses in which people live? We're all doing okay. I don't know how much you pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. How you doing with that one? Let me tell you, very little prayer, yet tremendous blessing. What would happen if we prayed? More blessing. But can you imagine the supernatural blessing if we really prayed? To me, that's incredible. But here's the problem. We miss the primary purpose for prayer. You have needs. Because you have needs, you go to God in prayer. Did you know that you have needs because God wants you to have needs? See, get this now, and don't miss it. Hey, we're almost to the end of the sermon, and I promise, we're almost there. Don't miss. Everything I've said leads up to this point. You have needs because God wants you to have needs. God wants your needs to motivate you to come to him. God doesn't want you to have needs because he wants to hurt you. He doesn't want you to do without. That's not what it's all about. Here it is. God wants you to have needs, so you need him, so you come be with him. Mm-hmm. God's purpose for prayer is this. God wants to be with you. And you know what, you and I, we get all caught up in what we get out of it, and I pray because I need things and I want things, but that's not the whole deal with God. You have needs, and when you have needs, you go to God. And God says, "Oh, I like this, because she needs me right now, and I want to be with her, and I want her to be with me." You know, did you know one of the reasons why you don't have to pray sometimes and he blesses you anyway? Because he loves you so much. Things are not what it's really all about. God loves you. When you have a need, that's God wanting to be with you. See, to some here, prayer is still all about getting things. Hey, and prayer is asking. I'm going to tell you what I think prayer is all about. To God, prayer is all about the fact that he wants to be with you. Ask yourself this question. What's God get out of it? Is he just a bank account? You don't really have anything to offer him except for one thing. Yourself. Have you accepted the fact yet that God loves you? God loves you, and he wants to be with you. And we go to him and ask for things, and he said, "That okay, that's why you're coming. I just want to be with you." My wife and I, many months ago, had gotten some gifts together for a couple of our kids. And I said, "Okay, let's drive out to the house and deliver it." And Mrs. Owens very sheepishly said, "No, let's have them come by the house and get it." You want to know why? Mama wanted the kids to come by. Because she wanted to be with them. And can I tell you all something from God's perspective? Some of you right now, you have some needs. And the need is the big issue with you. But you are the big issue with God. And that need is because God wants to be with you. And it might even be this. Some of you say, "Preacher, my need is big. It's life or death." God must sure love you. Because that big of a need means He really wants to spend some time with you. I wrote this down on my 3x5 card. It says this: is it possible that when you're going through the difficult times of life and the ones that demand that you pray, that at those times God needs you most? See, we think the difficult times are when we need God most. I wonder if your difficult time is when God needs you most. Have you ever thought maybe for some reason the great God of the universe needs you? Oh, we know He can do it without us, but He didn't choose to do it that way. I want you to stop and notice how good He is to you. When you pray, when you don't pray. And you know what we ought to do? We ought to let the goodness of God help us to realize that goodness, we shouldn't take advantage of it and pray less. We ought to pray more. I looked up this verse earlier, and the Bible says in Romans 2:4, "Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Tonight, I'd like the goodness of God to lead you to repentance about your lack of prayer because of the goodness of God. Do you see how He blesses us without it, so we don't do as much of it as what we should? But if we're not careful, we get caught up in the thing that prayer is all about getting things when it's really all about God getting you. So I'll say this and I'm done. God wants to be with you. You say, "Oh, preacher, you're talking about, you know, somebody else." Oh, no. You're a designer model. You're uniquely different than anyone else, and God wants to be with you. I don't think I'll ever forget the day that it occurred to me that God had a plan for me. And that God wants to hear from me. And in this thought, God wants to be with me. The God of the universe wants to be with Jeff Owens. I don't even want to be with Jeff Owens. But God wants to be with me. And folks, God wants to be with you. And I think the worst part about prayer is not what you're missing in regard to things. It's what you're missing in regard to going to Dad's house and spending a moment with Him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I ask you to search your heart. I want you to pray. I want you to thank God for His goodness. We'll have an altar call tonight. I think there's some of you, you might need to get on your knees and just thank God for the 20th anniversary celebration at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. Some of you might owe God a little apology because all you ever do is asking for things. And that's okay. Prayer is asking. Sometimes if we don't have a need, we don't seem to need Him. And that's not right. Who here in this building tonight would say, "Preacher, God has spoken in my heart this morning, this evening, in the music, but He has touched my heart in a special way"? Would you raise your hand that God might see it? We're going to have an altar call. If you need the altar, I want you to come. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. If you need to come, you come. You come, use the altar. Thank God for something He's done for you. Thank Him for His blessing in spite of our lack of prayer. I'm glad God blesses me when I'm coming up short on my prayer life. But you know, God's getting cheated because he wanted to be with me. He wanted to be with you. Remember, when the need in your life for God is greatest, is it possible that at that time God's need to be with you is greatest? Could you then look at your burden through different eyes? Maybe your burden is not just all about you. Somehow, maybe God uses your burden to draw you close to Him in a time when in His great perfect plan, He just wanted to be up close to you. Fantastic. Go ahead and have a seat for just a moment, folks.